It's Friday. This is Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats. I'm Casey. We don't know where Big Mike is. We got sweet Melissa joining me. Hi. Welcome back. I just want to remind you, there are two things you can guarantee in life. A broken clock is correct twice, and plastic always breaks. This is Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats.
I like it.
Welcome back, everyone. So, Friday night. Sweet Melissa, riding shotgun.
Here I am.
Yes. She's like, she's like that rapper riding dirty.
Shotgun Melissa.
Schmillionaire, whatever that guy, what was his name?
I don't know.
I'm rolling, riding dirty.
Oh.
Riding dirty.
I didn't know his name.
Yeah. Well, he's something like that, Schmillionaire or something.
He has a name?
Everyone's got a name.
Huh. Oops.
Oops. So time. Just want to remind anyone who wants to hang out, that's great. If you want to call in, we got a few unspoken rules. One, get to the point. Few minutes, and then we just got to move on. So if you're listening live, we have the message board. Just come onto the message board and let us know what you want to say. And then we'll go from there. Otherwise, enjoy the show. You can email us at the show at Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. You can always join us there. You know, show input, questions, concerns, emotional outputs.
Like, you mean outbursts, like what's happening right now on the message board? Wow. We do not condone what is on the message board currently.
Yeah, I don't know. That guy popped
up. How do we name. Mute that?
No, he's gone. He's already blocked.
Okay.
Yeah. He changes his name every couple weeks, but...
I think right. I've seen him before.
Yeah, I don't know what his dealio is.
We will wish him...
I'm going to check the mute button, see if it works.
It works.
Hello? I think it's working really well.
Yeah. He's very muted.
I'm opening muted. A bag of Skittles. I don't need the...
very good. Wait, so you got new hardware? What happened?
New Skittles, new hardware.
I have new hardware.
Oh, all right.
The latest phone from the I.
I got you. Yeah. Because
iPhone Trace.
Is that what it is?
I think you have a 12 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's noisy in my ear. Where's that mute button?
Elf? 12. No.
What's that?
I forget. I think 12 in German is something.
DAC Trace is 13, I think. I thought. They make it easy.
No, it's like Dolce, Trace, Catorce, Quince, then DAC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. Man, that was a long time ago. Your brain's better than mine.
It's not better. It's just uses Spanish a lot more.
What about DAC Uno? That's probably why they didn't do that.
I don't know. Anyways. Also, a little quick reminder, everyone. Sometimes there are cities in multiple states that's not the same city.
Oh, no. Let's just get it out of the way.
That's right.
Sweet.
The Simpsons.
You mean like,
talking
you mean
about
like Paris, Texas?
Yeah, Paris, Texas.
Odessa, Texas?
Yes.
Or maybe Leesburg, Virginia?
Oh, no.
Oh, you mean not Leesburg, Florida?
I've had this conversation before, actually, about Cairo, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, there is a Cairo, Georgia. Yeah.
Oh, I've done this. Only it was actually Egypt being spoken about, believe it or not.
Hmm. Believe it or not, we're talking about Egypt.
And Leesburg and all sorts of places.
All right, so you know what? We might as well just leave with this. Hey, and it's called Bearing the Lead. Sweet Melissa was reading about food, a food story, and I would like her to bring it up because you're kind of like our in-house resident chef there, Big Ed. And I don't know anything about
that. I don't know if I'm the – I guess I have a vast knowledge of food
stories.
I'll take that. I'll take that, Kyle.
So I actually think if it's okay with you guys, I'm just going to read this very short article because it is very short.
Okay.
I think it's just easier that way.
It might help me understand it.
I don't think so, because I pretty much read you the whole thing earlier.
Oh, okay.
All right. So after more than 70 years, the FDA is dropping its regulation for French dressing. Apparently, so I'm going to summarize some of it.
Sorry.
They tried to do this in 1998. Did you know there's an association for dressing and sauces? It's a thing. So that group tried to free the French dressing in 1998, but it didn't happen. So now I'll go back to the article and skip what I already kind of said.
Okay.
So they decided that. Oh no!
We'll just keep going. Keep going.
Every time I share the show with someone, I lose the functions on the bottom.
But you came back just in time. It was perfect. It was like you were never gone. So they decided French dressing does not need to be regulated anymore. When the standard of identity was established in 1950, French dressing was one of three types of dressings we identified, the FDA said in this final something-something ruling thing. There's two others, mayonnaise and salad dressing. But French dressing was being...
Well, where they define as salad dressing then?
I think that's mayonnaise.
Oh, well, I guess...
I wanted to ask Lou, actually. Oh,
all right.
Right? Don't people call...
Oops. Right.
I did ask.
Well, Miracle Whip is a dressing.
There you go. That's
but mayonnaise. I don't know.
Right. So and then it
and
says,
Miracle Whip is I don't know. It's gross.
Correct. I agree.
Wait, what's gross?
Miracle Whip.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No.
Nobody knows what it is. So French dressing is the only pourable dressing required to adhere to standards that require it to contain oil, acidifying ingredients, and seasoning. Other foods, including bread, jam, and juices, have their own standards of identity. I think we offended the French dressing.
Well,
but now they can do whatever they want, is the moral of the story.
I'm still confused about this story because I'm like, well, isn't that what Russian dressing is, too?
It's a good point.
Isn't that like a French dressing?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's mayonnaise and ketchup, basically.
So this article is saying that it used to be that French dressing had to have tomatoes, we thought, like ketchup or tomatoes, whatever you want to call it. But there was no ruling or no law saying that it had to have that. But it had to have this oil. And French dressing has been marginalized, it says.
Fucking dressing's been made gender fluid.
This whole article is very entertaining to me. So then the FDA proposed December 2020, revoking the standard for French dressing in the name of flexibility and innovation. So I think you can make whatever you want and call it French dressing now, because that rule just got changed recently.
As long as you do it in the name of flexibility and whatever the other thing is.
Right. Yes, that too.
And well, all right. So my question is,
it doesn't go into effect till Valentine's Day.
Now, all right. Now that's a weird thing.
I didn't want to get everyone's hopes up.
Valentine's Day, you know?
Because it's red dressing.
Yeah, you're like, this is it. This is the last time you get real French dressing on our sweetest of days, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I this made the news. Like, it was on my news feed this morning, so I felt that it was important to share.
You know, there's someone that's got, like, a doctorate from Rutgers that's, like, a big lobbyist that's been pushing for this probably for years. Like, we finally fucking did it. We did it. We did it for the small guy.
So UCLA food law tweeted about it. So there's that.
Of course they did.
Yeah, yeah. They're happy. It says today.
Like, yeah, we're happy. There's no standards in food. Like, fucking just, you know, throw mashed potatoes on the ground and call it French dressing.
Yeah. Well, it's not, well, it's the identity of it. Now it can be
whatever it wants.
A French dressing or binary or none or whatever that is. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, go so, French dressing.
So basically French dressing could be like, yeah, I identify as roquefort.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I identify as a blue cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I identify
now
as a cheese.
Now dip your wings
cheese.
In me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm now, trying to find the article where I read that there might be a shortage of wings this year.
Oh, I've heard that.
No, there has been. There has been. The prices have been skyrocketing.
Hey, at least they're not still talking
about
coffee.
Had to do with something about the medication they give chicks. All right, and they stopped.
Steroids?
Well, yeah, they didn't say, you know.
Well, it's probably.
But they also
what?
Inoculate these things.
It was probably a supply chain issue.
Well, it turned into it because there already is one. In every industry, but there's also physically a shortage of the wings, not like in the other industries where they're just waiting to be shipped.
So God forbid a shortage of wings.
Big Mike!
Big Mike! Big Mike!
What's happening?
We've been talking about wings.
Yeah, I you know, tuned in at the right time.
Yeah.
All right. All right, everyone, just relax. It's Big Mike. It's not getting too crazy. Welcome back to the show there, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Good to be on.
Hey, why don't we just make a chicken with four wings?
I'm sure they could mutate one of them. They've been messing around with shit for years.
I mean, you know, you could graft like shit, and then all of a sudden your lemon tree's growing oranges. Why can't you just do that with chicken?
Oh, because then we're back to GMO.
That's what I was just going to say.
That's where it all started. Some idiot was like, hey, you know what? Why don't we just make the breast bigger? We could just change this chromosome.
No.
Is that why girls have big boobies? Like before, they should have big boobies because of
You have.
Yeah, that's what they say,
the
right?
oh, from the hormones in the chickens. Yeah,
in the chickens. Yeah,
they do.
Yes.
First off, they're implants. Second off, GMO is a term that's thrown around. The Driscoll strawberry is a GMO.
Yes, it is.
And
which I'm okay with some GMO. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, GMO is not always a bad thing. You just, you know, you can get rid of whatever you don't want to get rid of and get rid of what you got to get rid of.
Hmm.
There you go.
Hmm.
Did I say it more eloquent enough?
Perfect.
That's Big Mike. That's not me.
Yeah sorry.
He doesn't know how to he can't handle his mic.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Casey, start crinkling the can.
Yep, that's right.
It's that time. Get it out. There we go, everyone.
Oh,
wow. Hold on.
Oh, my goodness, my eardrum.
And by the way, these Skittle gummies are fucking cold.
Skittle gummies?
Yeah, they sound better than they are.
Oh, no.
I hate
Casey, you got to do that depressing sound. Where is that crowd? Open the window. I want to hear them.
So how bad are these Skittle gummies?
The flavor is weak. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I think this is great. Like, when you chew into a Skittles with the hard crunchy, there's no mistaking what you're chewing into.
This
gummy is very weak. They need to put more fructose corn syrup in it. It needs a flavor spike.
Maybe more fruit juice. Maybe something natural.
All right, don't worry. I got a backup of
farts are natural.
Farts are natural. We should do a show about farts.
Yeah, but I just don't find farts as appetizing as I do a Kit Kat or a Skittle.
Oh, you know how they flavor everything, like Lay's potato chips? It could be fart flavored.
Well, that is company.
Well, sweet Melissa.
Who's the ad campaign? We should come up with that one, you know?
Wait, those jelly beans probably do have that. I'm not even kidding. I think they have like a snot one.
Yeah, they have a snot
one. No, go. That was
no, they don't. Are you serious? There is a snot one?
They have some dirty, nasty
ones. They have some gross ones I'll like try to trick you on.
It's gross.
Ugh.
Designed by a shithead.
So who does the taste testing? No, that doesn't quite taste like snot. It needs a little more booger flavor.
You know what it is? It's all the shitheads that don't make Florida Man. They take those shitheads and they go, this is your punishment. Taste this. Smell this. You know, it's just stuff like that.
Smell this.
Smell this.
Mmm. Mmm.
Man, I'm hungry now.
I know. Snot. Four-winged chickens. I don't think I eat a four-winged chicken. No, thank you.
I'd be fine with it.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Nope.
Maybe that chicken should...
Look, first off, it's a useless bird. It's got all that body they're just wasting, you know?
They have a booger flavor.
Oh, gosh.
That's the exact name of the flavor.
Hey, there's another Jackass movie.
Barf.
Yes.
Canned dog food, moldy cheese, skunk spray, baby wipes, stinky socks.
I got to be honest with you. I don't find any of those flavors tantalizing or at least good.
Neither do I.
But somebody is going to...
pudding.
Why is it always me? I work 12 hours a week, you know.
I didn't know that one was that long. It was one I didn't hit.
That's a good one.
Not bad.
Hey, seeing I got Big Mike here, I want to go back to actually one of the lead stories I was waiting on with talking about NASCAR is eventually coming to L.A. and they're already teasing pictures. L.A. Coliseum looks
great. Oh, it looks pretty cool, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm very surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
They pulled it off, I think.
Well,
we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, the pictures that you see in that commercial, I think that's CGI. I don't think the track's not finished yet.
They're like, we're going over grandstands.
It'll be kind of like stadium truck racing.
Yeah.
No, but it's not going to be that crazy. Now, did you guys see all 36 teams will be out there for the Busch Clash? There'll be two heat races Saturday night, and then they run the main event on Sunday.
Well, you know that all 36 teams were voluntold to be there. That was not an optional.
No, it's not. So the NASCAR rules, if you are a charter team, you're showing up. So this is one of the races where NASCAR said, you guys are showing up. That's your obligation. If not, you can go play someplace else.
Hey, dog and pony show, baby.
I saw a video on YouTube of them down at Daytona doing a drafting test. It was 15 minutes. I think it was a ride along with Steve Brashear.
Bouchard?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
No. This was this week.
Oh, well.
They ran the cars out there.
Yeah, they did. They that was actually live streamed on.
Yeah, I watched it from Steve Bouchard. He was doing
Steve
a ride.
Bouchard.
I think that was his name.
No.
It was Junior Johnson.
No.
He was in a Mercury.
No, I thought it was a reporter riding in the car. But
oh, I don't know.
I thought it was in Leesburg.
Yeah, it was Leesburg, right by Odessa.
Yeah.
At Ballyhoo's.
Well, you know, speaking of the tests they had at Daytona, Dale Jr. was out there for Hendrick Motorsports, and he was driving the number 5 car.
I did not know that, but they were.
Yeah, I heard that.
wasn't that aggressive, you know. They were just kind of
They weren't. But if you looked at the lap times from the first session to the second session, they got the cars dialed in. They were a good, 10 miles an hour faster in the second session.
How fast were they going? Because I had no
fast. The fastest lap time, I believe, was like 190, 191.
That's not bad.
So, and that's with the that's running the 510 horsepower package, which will be run at Daytona Talladega and the all new Atlanta Motor Speedway. Because Atlanta now falls into the rules with the big super speedways because of the banking. They increased the bank. I don't know if I mentioned that last week.
No, but I did not know that they increased banking in Atlanta.
Yeah, so they repaved Atlanta recently, like within the last 2 weeks. And they increased the banking from, I think it was 23 degrees to 28 degrees in the corners. So it's like a mini Daytona or Talladega.
Yeah, because Daytona is 31, right? And I don't know what Talladega – I guess Talladega is about the same.
I think Talladega has higher banks than Daytona, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, it's wider. I don't know if they're taller.
Might be by a few degrees.
I guess you'd have to get out the old Google machine.
Google machine, yeah. Got to Google-fy it.
Isn't the Texas track kind of like that, that high of banking?
I'm not sure what Texas is, the banking at Texas is, but I don't believe so. I don't believe it's going to fall.
Oh, wow, 33 degrees.
At Talladega, right?
Yep. I know Daytona is 31. Excuse me.
So I'm looking forward to the Busch Clash at the Coliseum. I think it's going to be a good race. I think they've sold a ton of tickets already. I don't know what the capacity is going to be.
If they have 36 teams out there, that's going to really fill up the field.
No, the field, they're going to, you know what, Big Ed, I did not look at the number of cars that are going to, I think it's, they're running heat races with maybe 20 cars at a time. And I think the Clash is going to be run with, I want to say 24 cars. I'm not sure. So they'll have the qualifying races. I think they do a last chance qualifier. So they'll have two heats and a last chance qualifier and then the race. So stay tuned. That's coming quick.
Huh.
So that'll be, I think it's the week before the Super Bowl that they're running the Clash.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Because now that the Super Bowl meanders into February now.
Yes.
Didn't used to?
No, it was always in January, but they expanded playoffs. They added a bye week and, all that.
Mm. More TV time for the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
More commercials.
And then the USFL is just going to just show up and just realize that everyone's burnt out and they're going to fold in like week six.
Casey, what do you think about that USFL? Does it have a chance?
No. But no. its only shot is that Fox is bought TV rights to it, so they have a major TV contract, and that's the only way any of these organizations have a chance, because they're not gonna. It's just gonna be friends and family going to these games. No one's gonna go because there's no,
unless the tickets are really cheap.
Who are you gonna see? Like the original USFL worked because they drafted like Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie, Heisman Trophy winners, and they poached them from the NFL. So unless the USFL or any other competing organization wants to compete with the NFL, you have to steal their talent.
In this era, I don't think that's going to happen. There's too much money in the NFL.
Look, sure, there's, it, all there's they're going to take wait, is wait, wait, the dollar sign.
There's too much money to stay in college now.
Yeah.
True.
Yo, rumor is the one kid that signed at Jacksonville State where Deion Sanders is coaching, that kid might be getting $2 million a year.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I hadn't heard anything about that money-wise. I was curious, though.
Listen, he's not going to Jacksonville State for free.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he was getting recruited by, like, Clemson, Georgia, Florida State. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So, now, we'll go up more in the NFL in a little bit. We got a special correspondent that's going to go over game predictions. I mean, he's going to be locking it down. You guys are going to make so much money this weekend. It's going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the racing. Oh, Big Mike, you shared a story on a retirement. Tampa's own Eric Almirola's retiring.
That's right. He hangs it up at the end of this coming season, at the end of the 22 season. Eric wants to spend more time with his family, and you can't fault the guy for that. And it, I
blame Carl Edwards.
Oh, look at Carl. He right in his prime. The guy was a championship contender, and he bailed. I think he just had enough. He had his fill. There was rumors that Carl Edwards was going to go into politics. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot going for him. He was a big spokesman with Subway. Hey, these guys make so much more money than they did generations ago. You know, the Harry Gantz and the Dick Trickles and even DW. I mean, it's a legendary. You go into Hall of Fame just for having a name like that. they didn't make the money that these guys make.
No. I think... towards the end of Waltrip's career, he did.
Yeah.
The only guys that made any, even the guys making a lot of money, let's go back to the 70s. The guys making a lot of money, which is nothing compared to today, is Pearson, Petty,
Yarborough.
Yeah, Cale Yarborough was making money. Benny Parsons in his prime, he was making money.
And Allison.
Bobby more so than Donnie, but they did okay. These guys, they didn't make a ton of money. Junior Johnson made a lot of money as a car owner.
Correct.
Not as a driver. But it was also, I am at the tail end of my DW book, and Junior was a little tight with the money. He didn't want to pay the drivers too much money.
Yeah, I always heard that. He's like, yep. I'm going to invest on equipment, but you're not going to make a lot of money.
So, but yeah, it's a different era. And these guys, they run. Almirola's what, 10 years, over 10 years in Cup. And I think it's 12. How many years? I think it was 12 years in Cup. I'm not sure. He's made a living. He doesn't have to work anymore.
He could say he drove for Petty. So.
Yeah.
He's been a good driver.
I think so.
I wish him well. It's just amazing. These guys are going to be like retiring at 40, and that's going to be common now.
Well, that's it. Almirola is 37.
He was born in 84.
Retire.
Oh my gosh,
wait.
That's a baby.
Retiring.
Yeah.
Baby.
Well, retire.
Retire from racing. And you know, look, he's got his whole life ahead of him. I wish him well. My first reaction is like, geez, these guys retire young. I get it. Motorsports is, it's still very, very risky. Anything can happen.
Yeah, here sure. Today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah. That's it. Or think about it, just like in the NFL, concussions. Concussions are a big, big concern in motorsports. And, these guys, they don't want to end up living, like half a life, due to a concussion, brain damage. So yeah, I think once they have children, their taste or their tolerance for risk goes way down.
That makes sense.
And that's exactly, they asked Dale Jr. at the test session in Daytona this week, and that's exactly what he said. He said he does not have the like the desire to take the risks that he did when he was single, before he's married, with a family. He said that that's not for him anymore. He's, those days are past. Because of course the question was, with him testing the car for Hendrick at Daytona, would we, will we see you in the Daytona 500 sometime, Dale? And his answer was no.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay.
So I think that's it. This is becoming more and more a young man's game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I have a special guest on the line with us.
Oh, wow.
We got the Subway Slam back.
Hey, Slam.
Oh, Slam. Oh man. It's been a while.
Well, Slam, is, are the rumors true you were skiing?
I was. I was practicing for the Winter Olympics.
Excellent. Yeah. USA, yeah. USA, USA.
Speaking
USA,
of taking risks.
Well, tell us about it, Slam.
I got to say, I am prepared for the Winter Olympics for skiing. We're going to get a gold medal. Yeah, I'm prepared.
Well, the rumor is that you had a big-time coach, former Olympian Bodie Miller there out there on the slopes with you.
Yes.
Really? Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, we're going to be rooting for you to take home the gold in Beijing. I mean, yes, there's no doubt.
Yeah, rocks a rock.
Rocks a rock. Far, yeah. Rah, 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 rah.
Right. Hey, so also, Subway.
Yeah.
NFL. A lot of things going on in the NFL. Lot of coaches out of jobs. One of them threw a pizza party. I thought that was kind of cool. Old Joe Judge of the Giants.
Wait, really?
Yeah, actually, you know, I mean, it sounded I don't know. They were kind of goofing on it, but he was just trying to, like, say thank you to the coaches, because the NFL experience is tough on coaching. It's a thankless job. You work 70, 80 hours a week. You know, in the last two seasons, they're constantly quarantined and tested for COVID and the protocols and yada, yada, yada. So I thought it was kind of cool. You don't hear about a coach that's getting shit canned that still brings the team together, the coaches, and says thank you for your work.
So, right.
You know, I don't know if Joe Judge was a good fit with the Giants, but, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him. I don't know if he'll get an actual head coaching job again, but.
Hey, listen, Raheem Morris, I said that like 10 years ago. Raheem Morris, who's the defensive coordinator of the Rams, I think is going to be a head coach in the NFL again. Because he's real young. He's really young. He's, you know, he's about 40-something. I think you're going to see him, Byron Leftwich, one of those guys are definitely getting jobs. But I think one of those two guys are going to be the Jacksonville guys next year, if I was going to be a betting man.
Yeah, I could see that.
I thought the shock of the week, I think a close second, was Houston firing their coach after they undercut him with a stupid quarterback that had a controversy they couldn't trade or play with Deshaun Watson. So Culley, you know, they gave him a shit team. They won him the tank. They played well. I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird, one and done.
And Brian Flores.
Brian Flores, thank you. I hope that, you know what? He'd be perfect in Chicago.
Yeah, he's gonna get a job again.
They wanted him. The story is the owner wanted him to tank and he wouldn't do it.
I heard they were thinking about, like, I heard like they were considering tanking, but like he said, screw that. No, we're not going to do that.
This is what I hope happens with Miami and in Flores. Flores goes to Chicago. However, they have Justin Fields as a good quarterback. But there's a part of me, wherever Flores goes, he needs to orchestrate a trade and get Tua, just like any given Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, just show up that you knew better because they were messing with Tua the whole time. The owner was trying to trade for the Houston quarterback the whole time. That had nothing to do with Brian Flores. That was not
– Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, they were trying to trade they were trying to get Deshaun Watson.
Correct. Which
listen, I'm telling you this. Deshaun Watson's going to go to the Steelers.
No. No way. All right, I'm writing that down. I got to write that down.
Yeah, listen, I'm telling you this. It just makes perfect sense.
He's still writing.
Because one got accused of something, so they got to keep suit with quarterbacks that get accused of inappropriate relations.
I mean, I just feel like the Steelers, like, I don't know how they made the playoffs this year. I feel like they're going to just keep buying. Like, they're going to try and get, like, an actual quarterback. I kind of just see them getting another quarterback. Like,
they're going to need one because all they have is just a really kind of a lifetime backup back there in, with that Rudolph Mason kind of guy.
Or what's it called? The biggest bust of recent memory, Dwayne Haskins.
Wow. Yeah, well, I could have told you he wasn't going to work out. But no one asked me. So yeah. Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. All right, so all right, we got this segment coming up. We got the playoffs there, Subway Slam.
Yep.
And you're going to be in this segment. You're going to be known as Jimmy the Woke, and you're going to be giving us our game day predictions. What we're looking at. So the first game on Saturday, we have the Las Vegas Raiders against the Cincinnati Bengals.
So, this is going to be a very, very interesting team. I mean, not team, but this very interesting matchup because the Raiders are the fifth seed, and they got in the playoffs, like, what, in, like, the last week of the season. So, I mean, I'll say this, like, the Raiders are kind of underrated. So, let's see. The Raiders have Derek Carr as a quarterback. Great, great quarterback. Same thing with Joe Burrow. He's also a great quarterback. You running back, Josh Hicks, Joe Mixon, a great running back. Wide receiver, Bengals kind of have the edge. Tight end, you have Raiders have the edge. Offensive line's kind of like kind of split. I would kind of give the edge to the Raiders. And then you look at defense. I think the Bengals have a better defense. But it's a playoff game. And both teams have a little drought when it comes to playoff wins. The Raiders have not won a playoff game since they made the Super Bowl against Tampa. We kind of know what happened. And then the Bengals have not won a single playoff game since, let me just say this, 1991. Yeah, it's been very long. Good job on the Bengals. The team I think will win is it comes down to who is more hungry. Who is more hungry for this? And I think that the Cincinnati Bengals will break their drought. They will actually make it past the first round. I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback.
Yes.
I think he's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. He is a great, great quarterback.
All right, so we're going Bengals on the first game. Excellent. Joe Burrow is going to be smoking a big cigar in the locker room. I like it.
Yep.
All right, so the next game on Saturday is going to be the New England Patriots versus their division rival, the Buffalo Bills, and snowy Buffalo.
That's going to be a cold, cold game. I am going to say this. The Bills, in order for the Bills to win this playoff game, they need to have an excellent start. They need to start off strong because usually you'll have the term, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But the Bills just kind of take that and just kind of like...
What she said.
Yeah, that's what she said. but yeah, I think if the Bills can have a great start and make sure their defense does really well, then I think they could win. And that's what I think will happen. I think the Bills are going to beat the New England Patriots. Sorry, Mac Jones. But, yeah, you're... Sorry, Mac Jones. You got to learn from Bill again.
Well, the Bills Mafia will celebrate your prediction by body slamming someone through a table properly.
Yep.
So the next game, we're moving on to Sunday with some stormy weather moving in, actually, into the southern region. As I'm playing meteorologist, we had some stormy weather. The Philadelphia Eagles travel all the way down to Tampa to play the Buccaneers.
Okay. So what have you? All right. Well, I'm just going to just short and sweet the Bucs. And here's why. All the Eagles wins are from teams that are not even in the playoffs. All of the 9 wins that the Eagles got are from non-playoff teams. So that's a big problem for the Eagles. They have a great future. They just need a little work. And it's good for the Eagles that they lose in the first round because they have 3 first-round picks like this year.
Wow.
So you got the one from Dolphins from like last year, the Colts pick from the Carson Wentz trade, and then they have their own pick. So they're going to be good next year, but this year is not their year. So the Bucs.
All right, so as we move to mid-afternoon on Sunday,
I honestly will be shocked if the Bucs lose in the first round.
Yeah, so it'd be a lot of people.
Yeah, I will place
maybe one of them.
I will place every single penny saying that the Bucs will beat the
Eagles. Making me nervous.
Here it is, folks. He's saying that's the all-in bet.
But I think that's scary. It scares
me. That's Jimmy the Woke, gentlemen.
Jimmy
and
the
ladies.
Woke.
Jimmy the Woke.
Jimmy the Woke. And then the next game, we got the San Francisco 49ers. This is like a 90s throwback. Like Aikman and Steve Young should be honorary captains. Just throwing it out there. We got San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas.
So this is going to be an interesting matchup. This is actually close. Like, this is probably the closest besides the Raiders and Bengals matchup that I can, like, this is something, like, I've gone back and forth on this for a while. So I'll say this, the 49ers, we'll start with them, because they kind of do need some love. They honestly have a really good team. Here's the thing. Jimmy G is not their quarterback for the future, but for now, he's good enough for the team. Running back, I guess Elijah Mitchell, he had a good rookie season. Deebo Samuel broke out this year. He is amazing. Deebo Samuel.
Oh, yeah. A wide receiver leading a team in rushing touchdowns is awesome.
Yeah. Great player. Great player. George Kittle. Yes. I mean, George Kittle is, in my opinion, the best tight end in the game. You can make a debate with him or Kelsey, but I think Kittle has been better. Is better. Defense, elite. O-line, love Trent Williams. Trent Williams has been the best he's ever been. Sorry, Washington, but it's true. And then you look at Dallas. Their offense is loaded. Dak, Zeke, Amari, Dalton Schultz, CeeDee Lamb. And then you have the O-line, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins. Like, that's a great O-line. And then you get to the defense. Micah Parsons has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Micah Parsons had an unbelievable rookie season. Trevon Diggs. Trevon Diggs is, I don't think it's going to have a good game. I mean, and that's it only if he has to defend Deebo Samuel. Like, yeah, he led the league in interceptions, but he's kind of a high-risk, high-reward player. Like, you don't know which Trevon Diggs you're going to get. You're going to get a good Trevon Diggs, or you're just going to get a crappy Trevon Diggs. But I think it comes down to how have they been panning out for the past couple games. And I think both teams have been really hot right now, but I'm going to give the edge to the Dallas Cowboys.
All right. So we got the Cowboys. Next game, the night game for Sunday, it's going to be Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. So this is another one that I'm going to just keep short and sweet. A lot of people have been calling this the TikTok Bowl because both teams have been very associated with the app. Because of what happened recently between the Steelers and Chiefs, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. Steelers, they're a great game. I mean, they're going to be a good team. Like, TJ Watt's amazing. Lock for Defense Player of the Year.
Sure.
They're, like, great defense. They just need a little work on the offense. And I think this has been Big Ben's last great game. I think Kansas City just gonna dig up a grave for his entire career. And yep, I think the Chiefs are gonna win.
All right, and then first ever Monday Night Football on we got Arizona and the Cardinals against the LA Rams.
Ooh, the Cardinals and the Rams. So, Cardinals and the Rams, this is another, like, matchup that I've been debating for a while. So, Arizona started the season undefeated. They went, 7-0? But they have went, like, they finished the season, 11-6. They finished 5-6 ever since they went 7-0. This is very interesting. The Cardinals, Kyler Murray, and he has to do without DeAndre Hopkins. Defense is actually not too bad. And then you go to the Rams. Matthew Stafford's amazing. You got Cam Akers back. He's a great running back. Cooper Kupp was unbelievable. Was unbelievable this year. The defense is just so stacked. I mean, it's mind blowing that they have Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, and Eric Weddle just came out of retirement just to go play for them. So that. That's a stacked team. Stacked defense. So this is, going to be a tough matchup. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say the Rams, and here's why. I don't know what Kyler Murray is going to bring out. On Monday night, they kind of have some inconsistencies. It makes sense when you lose to the Seahawks, when you lose to the Lions. and they've already lost to, I think they're split with the Rams this year.
But I think they beat the Rams in LA once.
They did, yes. That was during when they were undefeated. And then the Rams took a win in Arizona. I'm going to say this. I think the Rams are going to win. I just don't know what Kyler Murray is going to bring out.
All right. Well, we got a good weekend. I want to thank Jimmy the Woke on this one. Some good predictions. We're going to review them next week, and we're going to have you back next week to review these as well.
Yeah.
So fantastic, fantastic job, my man.
Yes.
Good job, Slam.
Subway Slam. Dead. Jimmy Woke. The Woke. Subway Woke.
Subway
Woke. There you go.
Jimmy Slam.
Subway has woken up.
Hey, so, we were talking about that, the satellite a few weeks ago, right? That launched on Christmas. It's called the James Webb Telescope.
Yes.
Just kind of changed gears a little bit, and everyone just hanging there. It completed its full operation of unfolding that crazy gold shield. It's in place.
So it's ready to rock and roll.
It got to where it needed to be. It did all its movements. Now all it has to do is get cold. Now we got to wait till summertime, and then we'll see. We'll see what kind of pictures. I mean, I think this is really cool. I am super geeked out about this satellite. I want to see what the beginning of space looks like. And that's what this thing's hopefully going to take.
You know what you're going to see at the beginning of space? It's going to be a picture of Alfred E. Newman. What me worry. Guarantee it. That's what we're going to see.
See,
I think we're going to find Alf.
Yes, yay! We're going to find Melmac. We're going to find Melmac.
That would be cool.
Or we might find Mork from Ork. This kind of my favorite Martian. We already passed his house.
Yeah, he's from Mars.
I think Mork would be cooler.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be cool because then you get his the baby was Jonathan Winters.
Yes,
because they Benjamin Buttoned in their planet. Mm-hmm.
They traveled in eggs.
Yeah, they pretty traveled cool. in eggs.
Remember that? They traveled in eggs.
Yes, they did.
Which that brings us right back around to our chicken conversation. Look at that. Perfect.
I wonder if their chicken had multiple wings.
Probably did. On Ork.
Yes. Nanu, nanu.
Fucking Shazbot.
So
you know Shazbot, right?
No.
Shazbot was kind of like, I guess, in lieu of a curse, He'd be like, Shazbot.
Oh, I got you. Wait, from the show?
Yeah.
It sounds big.
I remember the show, Casey,
I vaguely, it was syndication when I was a little younger.
Yeah, I believe it was in syndication. I'm trying. What year did it go off TV? 81.
I was thinking early.
I would
80s.
Say somewhere around there. Yeah.
Which I think I can vaguely remember watching it. When it was before it went into syndication, but not too much.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Well, all right. So I think we're a few minutes early, but I think we are around that time for Big Ed maybe to do a musical review.
I could. I have one handy.
That's it. Wait. We'll do it again.
Okay. That time it sounded weird. Did it sound weird to everybody else?
It sounds weird every week.
All right. Never mind. One more time.
All right. One more time.
Big Ed's
Rock and Roll Retrospective.
All right, kids. Thanks again for letting me do this. This is the highlight of my week. I did a band that none of you have heard of. Probably the second best band you've never heard of next to Highway Robbery. It's called The Mantras. They come out with an album in 2016 called Not Sweet, and that's not with a K. The Mantras are known as a jam band that play funk, rock, blues, and are considered prog rock and have a loyal following throughout the country. Not Sweet is the first album in 3 years for these guys. Although they have three other studio albums, they have over 100 songs and play a different show every night. So they're an American band. Their genre is progressive rock. The release date was August 31st, 2016. There's seven songs, 41 minutes long. In the lineup, you have Keith Allen on guitar and vocals, Brian Tyndale on bass and vocals, Julian Sizemore on keyboards and vocals, and Brent Vaughn, percussion and vocals, Justin Lowe on drums. The opening track, Here We Go, eases listeners with a looping sample and some lush orchestration before a snaking, winding jam splits the song in half. Bassist Brian Tyndale shines throughout the instrumental track, his deep line cutting through the mix. On the title track, Not Sweet, the guys immerse themselves in this instrumental alongside with a positive lyrical outlook without going too far in either direction. Julian Sizemore is a master on the keyboards and has a very crisp sound, while guitarist Keith Allen makes the most of the work being done by his bandmates. With the crisp, deftly executed lead lines that pair well with soaring power chords to show a very well-rounded set of skills, his entry on the song Dirt Nap, which happens to be my favorite song in the album, it sums up his great work on Not Sweet. Opening with the wall of sound blasts of distorted glory before slicing and dicing his way through the slowly building instrumental. Dirt Nap is one of my favorites, like I just said, and I did see them play this one live. You could see the whole band come together as one on this 5.5 minute jam. After the intensity of the previous tunes, the relative lightness of Strongbox will get listeners smiling and tapping their feet. Not content to go out with anything other than their best song, it seems like the Mantras decided to save their best new song for the last with the fast-paced Assault and Destroyer. True to its title, the tune leaves no corners of this sonic spectrum untouched by its ends. Destroyer serves its purpose perfectly, with each member taking the opportunity to shine their absolute brightest. Not Sweet's release is hoping that their tight jams and soaring solos find the ears of legions of new fans. They've certainly earned them. I saw them in Leesburg, Virginia with Jimmy Mike, and were billed as the Beastie Boys tribute band, and did an hour of their own material before blasting into the Beastie Boys, which is impressive in itself. The Duke Boy of Nesquaw could have used a copy of this album while plowing through snowbanks and jumping railroad tracks. I'm Big Ed, listen and enjoy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to say, Big Ed, my favorite song on the track on this album was Dirt Nap as well.
And I think that's the cool instrumental. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. The album, outside of my genre, it was an easy album to listen to.
Yes. Easy.
The band sounds really good, but Dirt Nap, wow, that takes the cake. That was incredible.
Wait. That was Mike, you did your homework?
Did my homework.
Oh my God.
Hey, I'm turning over a new leaf. It's that was my New Year's resolution.
Okay.
Do my homework.
Do your homework. That's
so great. I'm glad to impress you guys.
I didn't do as much homework. I just I'm not going to bore the details now. Explain to Big Ed something to do with iTunes, and I need to sign up for like 35 multiple accounts for free and trial and leave a credit card and whatever. So, but what I listened to, I liked, and I'll definitely revisit this band. I'm not super jam band guy, but there are some bands I like in that genre. There are certain sounds that like made me think of like, you know, kind of a Black Crowes or something like that. I liked them. I like that they use some organ. I think organ's kind of underused.
Yeah, the keyboard is really, really good on this band.
Yeah, man. I mean, that would make John Lord proud, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely a prog rock band, in my opinion.
You know what? They almost struck me as, like, listening to some of their music, or all their music on this album, some of the songs, it's almost like they could do, like, it struck me as movie music. I don't know. That's kind of what it struck me as, that it could be, like, intros and outros to movies.
Yeah.
And I say that in a positive way, not a negative way whatsoever. Because it was very instrumental, a lot of their songs, very, very instrumental, which I think that's a lost art on albums, period. You don't get instrumentals anymore. Every song on an album, somebody's got to sing. Well, instrumentals are nice.
So last week, and I was going to text you guys after the show. When I left, you big Mike, I turned on my vehicle. Kid you not, the first thing that was on the radio on old Sirius XM, a little plug, as they pick up our show one day, Pure Prairie League.
Oh, how about that?
Crazy.
There you go.
That's weird. Of all songs, of everything to be playing, that's the first song. I was like, I would normally take a picture and I was like, it's kind of late, and start that text thread going again.
Because then we would have been up till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Correct. But I was listening to a song though the other day, and this is, you know, I'm not going to say like review an album, but I'm going to say such an underrated rock and roll song is Warren Zevon's Werewolves of London.
Oh, I agree. What a cool song that is, dude.
Yeah.
That one.
It's hilarious.
It is. You listen to the words, man. I mean, that's a totally cool song. Talk about the werewolf, about what, there's a line in there about how he dresses so cool or something along those lines.
Yeah. No, well,
something like that.
It's just a story, you know. Sometimes a song just comes to you, you know.
Well, first off, it starts off with he saw the werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand walking through the streets of Soho.
Hey, you know, werewolf's like Chinese too.
He just wanted to get beef chow mein. That's it. And then that's how all. The song starts.
It's a mushu pork.
Yeah. And then at the end, the song.
With extra hoisin.
Yeah, well, and then the song ends, like, going back into the chorus for the final time, where he's like, he's got, the werewolf's got really great hair. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes
He
back
conditions it.
Yeah, it's so good, man. I'm like, I miss Warren Zevon, man. What a fun rock and roll song. But it's got a good groove to it, and it's just fun lyrics. And yeah, it's just a silly story, but...
That's a song when it comes on the radio, you do not change the station.
Mm-hmm. No,
you just let her ride.
No, you turn it up.
Mm-hmm.
You crank it. Crank
but
it
I've
up.
But I never paid attention to the words other than the, you know, the chorus. I got, apparently.
I made Sweet Melissa listen to that song and ad nauseum a lot this week.
It was cracking me up.
Like, no, you're not listening right.
Kid Rock sampled that song.
Really?
Oh,
I think you're right, Big Ed.
What's yeah, that?
I think you're right. I 100%.
You know, he sampled. He blended "Sweet Home Alabama" and "Werewolves of London."
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're correct now. Now
that I can't think of the name of the song, but I saw him on that tour with Jimmy Mike. We went to.
That summertime song? Sung.
Yeah.
Oh
exactly.
Yeah. I like that song.
Sweet singing, Sweet Home. No, singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
And
that's
we
the song.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, good job, Melissa.
She's a lyricist. It's like I was there.
That was what I was going for.
You did Kid Rock proud. He's smiling now with that rendition.
She's a regular Irving Berlin over here.
Hey, who is this broad over here interviewing the fucking Mick?
Oh, we don't, we're not watching.
Oh, yeah, actually, we're in, I guess, I'm losing track, Studio D.
Yeah.
And in the room I'm in, All right, for those, I'm going to pull the curtain back. Mike and I are remote, so not Studio C. We're in Studio D tonight. I am running the motherboard, and there's no TV in this room. So kind of blind. Usually I have a little TV in the background that we comment on, and so I don't know what's going on with wrestling. Other than that, I will tell you, Johnny Knoxville is tied around to something we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. Johnny Knoxville is going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
Yeah.
That pay-per-view may be worth getting.
Well, why? They're advertising their new Jackass movie.
You know, I think, you know, they've done, like, crossover stuff. Johnny's a guy that can hang with the wrestlers in the sense of the guy's gotten hit by a bull. So, yeah, if he wants to go in the ring, and I guarantee these guys are like, all right, we're going to beat on you for a while. And he's going to take it. Like, there's no way they throw him out of the ring. Like, we're going to body slam this guy a couple times. You have to. It's Johnny Knoxville.
It'll be entertaining.
You almost like, that. Guys, it would be great if, like, they just – keep body slamming for like a half an hour, you know.
They're gonna go, hey, was this like, is this what it was like to film Jackass?
Human punching guy.
Who's the Jackass now? They body slam, like every guy comes in the ring and just immediately body slams him.
Yeah, but you know what? He can really take a hit though.
he's a tough dude. He's insane.
He is completely white. I think he's younger than me.
Oh, his hair. He's
saying, oh, yeah.
It didn't
look, I wonder if he dyed it before and he just said, the hell with it, I'm not dyeing my hair anymore.
It could be.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think
definitely.
He's about my age, if I'm not mistaken.
You might be mistaken. You were mistaken about Leesburg.
Correct. There's always that possibility.
The outside chance.
Yes. That Leesburg's in Florida and that I am incorrect. Or that Leesburg's not in Florida.
Well, no, there's a Leesburg in Florida. It's just not the Leesburg you'd hope to.
He was born in 71.
Oh, really?
Oh, so he just turned 50. Yeah. Or will be. Let's see.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
I thought he was younger.
No, he's not younger than me.
One of those guys was friends of a friend of mine. It clearly wasn't him because whoever it was closer to my age, I thought.
Maybe Wee Man?
Are you serious?
Are you still friends with his friend?
Yeah, let's text him right now.
I still talk to them. I mean,
let's find out. Maybe you can report back next week.
All right.
When we're back in Studio C.
Okay.
Wait. So you're telling me you know someone that knows someone that knows the Jackass crew, and here we are?
I think we've had this discussion way back.
And all we land is Jimmy the Woke?
Oh.
Come on, Melissa. Sweet Melissa, help us out.
No offense to Jimmy the Woke. It was a good bit.
I will see what I can do. I do think I've mentioned.
Wow, they're talking about the bull stunt. I'm reading an article.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the craziest thing, he took I think it was the second one where they shot these pellets that come from, like, basically they put it like around like embassies. Like if people riot, it just explodes. It's like a Claymore mine, but it's just like rubber pellets. And he took one, and there's three of them. And two guys dropped, and he just stood there and just took it.
Well,
you know, he just put his hand on his face. He's like, I'm in movies. I can't have my face messed up.
Yeah, it's true.
And he stood there. I'm like, yikes. I'm like, golly, man.
That's the epitome of mind over matter.
And just, you don't want to be bitching about a bum knee in front of that guy.
Noted.
You wonder what his career is going to be like in another 10 years after all these stunts.
Well, he's taking its toll. He's already fucked up. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm surprised he did another movie. They're showing a video. He took a shot from a rodeo bull and it knocked him out cold for 4 minutes. I'm just reading the article. And I thought it was old. This is just for this movie, Jackass Forever, the new one.
Yeah. Now he's insane, man. He goes, when he goes all in, he goes all in. But I mean, it took 10 years, I think, from the last one, which I think people were, I was surprised they did the third one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think they were going to do this one, seeing that Kyle Dunn had, no, not Kyle Dunn. It is Dunn, though.
Yeah, Dunn. He was in a, he wrecked a car and died.
He died in a car accident, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, Dunn.
Yeah, well, Dunn. I will say the last name. It wasn't Kyle in either case.
Are you talking about Dunn? That was his name.
Yeah. I just don't remember his first name.
I'm going to find out.
But yeah, that's pretty sad. How about, did you guys watch, what was the show? The BAM show ever on MTV?
Yeah.
Viva La BAM.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because that was kind of like, it's all the Jackass guys that are on there.
Well, he kind of was the start of it. He had this band called CKY, and they would do like stupid stunt videos and stuff like that. And they were like kind of like a punk rock band. And that was kind of like the that's what led to Jackass, was the band CKY. And I forget how Johnny was the connection to that, but then they were able to wrangle all these guys together. Oh, Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn. There you go.
Oh.
Is that just in the movie? No. We're on the interwebs, and it looks
No. That's just
in the movie. No.
In the movie, it's pretend, but that his name is Ryan Dunn. Okay. Sorry, she's reading something. I'm trying to clarify. Sorry, everyone there. Mm-hmm. We were back on the tracks.
Well, as close to the tracks as we'll ever get.
Yeah, so it was Ryan Dunn that unfortunately met his demise.
Very sad.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, so that's in a couple weeks away. I haven't watched any movies. We've been catching up on Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. We're almost done with the final season. We have two episodes left. Spoiler alert, everyone knows karate in the San Fernando Valley. So
you know what? They're quick studies.
It's you know what? I got to say, you've been watching it, Big Ed, right?
I'm done with it.
All right, so I got to say this about the show. They really know how to rope you in with the nostalgia, but man, yes. they could really make it like a soap opera, though. Some of it's like a little ridiculous, but then they just.
But is it ridiculous on purpose? Are they going over the top just to go over the top?
Like a half a season too much, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? It's
still good.
They don't.
Well, no, but sometimes they do that. Sometimes
the show does not take itself too serious.
Exactly. Like, that's my point.
They're having fun with it, like the Ralph Macchio's character, you know, Daniel's son. Mm-hmm. His wife's always like, "Is there someone else from Cobra Kai that I need to know about?" This is obviously a problem. You know, everything's Cobra Kai. Is there someone else you need to tell me about?
So, it's hokey funny.
Yeah, it's done really well. It tiptoes a very fine line, but it's a fun show. Mm-hmm. You can watch a 30-minute episode, and you know,
30 minutes.
Yeah, in 30 minutes.
Well, imagine exactly. That. Well,
you could disconnect and you know just have some fun, and mm-hmm. it's not like. You're getting caught into.
It's not like watching Yellowstone where you're like, "Fuck!" You get riveted into a whole.
Yeah, sometimes you need a little escapism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called.
I'd agree with
it's
that.
Called, it's called F is for Family.
No, that's There's why five I seasons take, of it. I paid today to watch Saved by the Bell. That's why.
Oh, sorry.
You guys, don't get roped in. They let you watch first season and like an episode of the second season, then you have to pay for it. So I paid for it.
Oh, don't because it's on
Peacock Premium.
Oh, that. Oh, you know what that means, fellas.
What's that?
All the wrestling I can watch now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There you go.
And all the Saved by the Bell.
Hey, did you, sweet Melissa, being a Saved by the Bell fan, did you watch like the documentary, like movie about Saved by the Bell? It was like I forget what it was, but
it was years ago?
No, not years ago.
Kapowski was saying how Zach used to always finish on her.
Oh my God.
Spoiler.
No, but it was a movie. It was like a docudrama is what it was. It was a docudrama that went, told this behind the scenes story of Saved by the Bell.
Kapowski.
Was it a couple years ago?
Maybe a couple years ago. It's no more than a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think I did. But I'll have to relook now. It seems like longer ago, but I feel like that's because of, starts with a C, ends with an Ovid.
Oh, I just think it seems like longer ago because time just goes by so damn quick anymore.
Oh, yeah, that could be too. Yeah, I do. I think I saw it. Like, didn't it have some show aspects to it?
Oh, it did. It had all the show. And it just told the story of the kids, how on TV they were best friends and they were buddies. But in reality, they were very cliquey and there was rivalries. And poor what's his name? Who played Screech?
Oh, Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. He was the butt of the jokes even outside of the show.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up and make sure, and maybe I just will rewatch it just for fun.
I would rewatch it just for fun. It was actually, I found it kind of interesting because I'm gonna admit this, guys. I watched Saved by the Bell every week.
Hey, you got more brownie points from me for that.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic show.
I got negative points.
What?
Nothing.
But the Peacock one's good, too.
I got you, Casey.
I get it, I think.
I missed it.
I was saying he'd get nose brownie points.
I think.
Yeah.
It is good, though. It's an escape show. That's what made me think of it. Like, go into La La Land and watch Saved by the Bell. It's fun. Continue.
I don't think I could watch it. Now, as an adult, I don't think I'm that into the show. It's not one of those shows for me that I'm like, I'm going to watch it.
I like it just because it's mine.
That's okay.
Hey, I've read this in a TV article, and I know we got a listener that's going to probably go fucking ape shit.
What?
Luke of General Hospital is officially dead. No more Luke. The Luke and Laura saga is finally.
So they're not going to bring him back, and
they're not.
The ultimate Karen might be listening. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe baby died.
Yeah. Well.
All the above.
Yeah, baby died too. Yeah. But we have
Luke.
There's a sibling out there who really records soap operas still.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, we can almost do like, remember SNL, they were doing like that episode where like, I repeat, like they kept interrupting the episode to tell you that Buckwheat was dead. Buckwheat is being shot. We'll be giving you updates. We're telling you right now, the update is Luke is dead.
Well, thanks for that update.
Well, he hasn't been on the show actually in like 4 years or 3 years.
He's as dead as Christopher Reeve's penis.
Yikes.
Oh my
God.
Yeah. Wow. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
That came from a very dark place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Don't touch the soundboard anymore. That's Sweet Melissa.
I didn't even hear it.
It's doing the little...
It was like a ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I didn't hear it.
Yeah, she meant to hit this.
No. Oh,
and his penis is now dead. Just like that.
It's a happy thing, apparently.
So I finally got Patrick's rock for my fish tank.
Yay!
Nice.
It's really
Where'd cheesy. You find it?
I didn't. My niece did.
Oh, uh-uh. Okay.
She put it in my stocking for Christmas.
Hey, wait.
Oh, that's really very small. Nice.
Yeah, I'm like, they have everything but Patrick's rock.
Wait. Was it your niece or Sweet Melissa?
Hmm.
Oh, it was Sweet Melissa.
He says with a very confused...
Sweet Melissa's Patrick rock.
I mean, I thought maybe your niece found a better one, maybe.
Yeah.
No, they're... Someone suggested to look on Etsy, but if you Google Patrick's Rock, and if it was on Etsy, eBay, or something, it would show up.
Yes, correct. It's not.
We need to make a Patrick Rock.
You should make a Fraggle Rock.
I had to put it all the way at the back towards the tank to make it look like, you know.
That's what Casey
said. Yeah, for scale. Yeah, for scale, yeah. Absolutely, you put it in the back. Like he's far away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't live like right next to him anyways. He only lives next to the...
he lives next to Squidward.
Squidward, right.
It goes exactly. SpongeBob, Squidward, Patrick, and then Krusty Krab.
Correct.
But I don't know.
That's the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's the neighborhood.
And I have a chum bucket too. Alexander, that's who got me the chum bucket.
That part's true.
Yeah.
SpongeBob can also start fire underwater.
Yeah, he's pretty.
That's pretty talented.
He's magic.
He's ready.
He's underrated.
Harry's not a good driver, though.
No. They crashed cars constantly in that show.
Yeah. He's not even a Duke boy and he crashes cars.
And they had an episode with a driver's ed and he still crashed a car.
He did. Put Mrs. Puff in prison.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I totally don't
know
that.
No, you know what?
It's a true story.
I haven't seen a lot of episodes, but I've seen that one where you got the teacher put in prison. I don't know. Or the driver instructor, Mrs.
Damn Bob. It, oh, SpongeBob.
That's a show with...
That's a great one. Huh. Yeah, Mrs. Puff. Mm-hmm. That bitch. She's probably still doing time.
Could be.
Manslaughter.
Well, because like me, everybody else probably forgot about her. Sorry, Mrs. Puff.
Maybe you can visit her at the Bikini Bottom Jail, Melissa.
That sounds fun.
And apologize in person.
Probably. For the whole world. We all forgot about you.
Helping shut-ins.
Any other good shows? Any other good shows?
I have.
You're not watching any knife making shows or something like that?
No. It's I haven't watched a lot of shows. I have to get Yellowstone. I got to get back to season one and start watching that. I watched bits and pieces of this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd probably be a good idea to start from the beginning.
Well, you know what? Over what was it? Was it last week or the week before? They did like a marathon on Paramount Network.
Yeah. I think last weekend they did.
Yeah. So they started from the beginning and just let it rip. So that's my show. American Pickers is a show I like, but they moved it to Saturday night and I've missed it consistently. But That's what.
At least
that's
you've
what
done it consistently.
Wait, wait. So, he does it. He does it without an old drinky drinkerton, I guess, huh?
Correct. Drinky drinkerton got the boot.
Which one was drinky drinkerton?
Mr. Bundle, the chubby fellow that always wanted to bundle things. Like, hey, let's bundle.
Why? What did he do?
Frank, you didn't see it go on the internet, Big Ed.
Oh yeah, it's
Big great. Red.
Wait, they got rid of him on air?
No. When the new season started, Frank was not on. So Mike was going on picks with his brother and going on picks with help me here, Danielle.
Rhonda.
Oh, yeah. He was going with Danielle. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So then I saw it was like a news feed maybe on MSN or one of those that Frank was not asked to come and tape the new shows. Pretty much he got written off. And allegedly it was due to drinking a little too much. And maybe that got carried away. And Danielle put a statement out saying that she hopes Frank gets help.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Right? Did you see that? That's
just,
like
you might as well just like line up and just kick him right in the balls,
right in the nuts. As
I remember you saying that now,
a night in the ruts or right in the nuts.
So
he's with Luke now.
It says that he's battling Crohn's disease.
Yeah.
Well, he always has. He's been battling that for a while.
That happens when you drink too much. It's not Crohn's. It's just diarrhea.
Oh, okay, doctor.
Thank you, Melissa.
That's right. You're welcome. I'm just
that's
kidding.
Doctor Sweet Melissa.
Maybe
Doctor Sweet. Is she like Doctor McStuffins?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I just said it too. Jinx. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right, just referencing my favorite female wrestler in AEW. Shit's hysterical.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it says something here about he says
if he has Crohn's, I apologize.
I don't think Frank listens to our show, so we might be okay.
Oh, boo.
Unless he's
he'll show you how much diarrhea he has. He's gonna
wait,
come over.
Hold on, where's my glasses? Unless he's ZGLMING that entered the live studio. That might be him.
That's true.
You never know. These guys are a little wacky.
ZQLYMG, say hi to us.
Yeah.
How's your evening?
Yeah, don't be a...
Don't be an ABC.
1, 2, 3. You and me.
Yeah. Yep.
So, what do you guys think? We said it all?
I think we said it all for this week.
That's enough.
That's enough.
Wow. Enough for now. We don't want to.
He just fucking threw it in. Fucking Big Ed threw in the towel. He's like, that's enough. He was like fucking Roberto Duran in the corner yelling, no mas.
No,
that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have enough. It's always Slam ready to box. all I'm saying is if we say it all today, we'll have nothing to say next week.
Nothing for next week.
Oh, that's going on a t-shirt.
That's what it meant.
All right.
Hey, that's our music.
WBCS.
WBCS.
WBCS. Thank you very much.
Out.
Catch you. Hey, have a good night, everyone. Have a good weekend, fans.
Where can we catch us?
I don't know. Catch us at Beer Seats on Twitter, or you can email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. Give us show ideas, conversations, questions, concerns, comments, emotional outbursts. Catch us there.
Yay.
Thank you for listening.
I think that says it all.
Like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell a neighbor, tell somebody you don't like. Big Mike, we love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. See you next week.
See you next week.